Bert. But we're here this morning to really come together as a body and to celebrate what God's doing in our lives. Will you stand with me, please? We're here together. If you're able to stand, I would say let's stand together. I believe God is, well, I don't believe, I know God. God is doing a lot right now in a lot of our lives. And I think a lot of times we have a hard time. We oftentimes can miss it. We can be tuned out and be tuned into what's going on in the world around us. And the law of focus says that whatever you focus on, it becomes you. And so what we focus on, it becomes us. And so this morning, as we're about to enter in and worship and just open our hearts up, I want to really stress focusing on God. I really want to stress allowing Him to be our priority, to be the motivator of our heart, to, I guess, hold nothing back and really expose ourselves and really give all we have. And I don't know how your day's been or your week. A lot of times we talk about that in opening, but now is the time, regardless of how good or bad the previous hours or days have been, now's the time, a great opportunity just to surrender. God just wants us. He spares nothing to get our attention and to bring us into His kingdom, to bring us into His plans. And so He wants us. He wants all of us. Amen? He'll stop at nothing to have our attention, because why? He loves us. Jesus Christ's blood is a perfect example of that. The blood of Christ is a perfect example that says, I forgive you, you're loved, you're valuable. It's not what you've done in your past that determines who you are. It's who I say you are. And this blood gives you a fresh slate, a clean slate, to enter in and to lay every weight aside, every distraction, and to focus on me, because I love you and I have awesome plans for your life. Amen? So this morning, we want to acknowledge that. We kind of want to go on reset. I don't know where our hearts are, but oftentimes we can come in distracted. We can come in allowing life to kind of, you know, life happens. So this morning, let's do a reset. Let's just give God our heart and our time. Let's honor Him while we're together and really create an atmosphere of worship, which really invites His presence and really says how much He means to us. And it pushes everything else away for good. Not just for now when we pick it up later, but for good. So I'm going to pray, and if you'll just agree with me, and we'll pray together, and we'll just allow God to, in this place, to just establish that our hearts are His, and there's nothing that we want in between that. We want our relationship with Him to be priority, and we want our hearts to sing of how wonderful He is. Amen? Before I do that, our tithe and offering is right here. I'm pointing to this wooden box. So if you have any of that and it's laid on your heart, this is where you do it. Before, during, or after service, it doesn't matter. But we don't pass around a bucket or a bag. We let each do it as an act of worship as they feel led. So, Father, let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. God, we bless Your holy name this morning. Lord, we need You, God. I think as a body, as Your children, as a body of Christ right now, we just come with an open heart that speaks of repentance. And it says, forgive us, Lord. There are things that we've done. There are thoughts we've had. There are mindsets. There are distractions that we've allowed to come in and get in between. But right now we're saying, Father, forgive us. We lay at Your feet. We say we need You. We say the blood of Christ washed. We pleaded over us this morning to make us clean. We say the blood of Christ to answer against all accusations and penalties. We are now clean and free to worship You. Clean and free, God, to enter in into Your presence, that nothing would hold us back. Father, that the things that you're establishing in our lives, the thoughts and the plans would be fulfilled starting right now in this moment together, God. Father, that it would not be something that would be good feeling and lasting for the moment, but it would last for eternity. God, as you have called us and named each one of us as your children with great purpose and value, that we would assume that we would appropriate that, and we would walk in that this morning. So we honor you, Lord. This is your day. You made it, God. This is the day, Father, that we choose to rise above, to set our mind on the things of heaven, to truly enter in with our eyes of faith, God. We ask that as you would speak to us, that as you do speak to us, that we would have the sensibility, the ability to hear and listen. In Jesus' name, we worship you, Lord. Amen.
Yes, we do, God. Oh, we worship you, Lord. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Holy is your name. You are worthy, so worthy. You are worthy, worthy is your name. Come on, church, let's just lift him up in this place. Yes, Lord, you are glorious, God. You are mighty, Father God. You are powerful, Lord Jesus. Jesus. At your name, the mountains shake and crumble. At your name, the oceans roar. At your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry out. The Lord of all the earth will shout your name, shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord. Come on, at your name. At your name. The morning breaks in glory. Sin does, Lord. At your name. Creation sings your story. At your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry out, yeah. Lord of all the earth, shout your name, shout your name. Sing it out to the Lord. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, oh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord. For there is no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing, we will sing. There is no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing, we will sing. There is no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing, we will sing. There is no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing. Oh, yes, we will, Lord. Come on, sing it out. For Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, oh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord. Yes, we do, God. We worship you. Sing it out. Shout your name, shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout the name, oh Lord. Yes, we do, God. So worthy are you, Lord. Oh God, what can compare to you, God? What can compare to you, Lord? What can compare to your love? Yes, Jesus, we worship your holy name, Father. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. So worthy is your name. How worthy is join with all of heaven and sing. Hallelujah. sing your glorious God. Come on, church, lift up your voices. Lift up your voices, God. You are glorious, Father God. You are so mighty, Lord Jesus. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Holy is the Lord. Holy is His name. He is mighty, He is strong. He's so mighty, He is strong. I can trust in Him alone. I can trust in Him alone. For He will never let me down. He will lead me by the waters. He'll restore my soul. He'll restore my soul. Yes, Jesus. Restore souls. Come on, how many just needs to be restored this morning? You restore our soul. You restore my soul. Yes, God, what the enemy means for evil, God, you mean for good, Lord Jesus. You turn it around for good, Father. We thank you, Jesus, that you know our end before the beginning, Lord Jesus. God, we know, Father God, that you give perfect strength. God, you give perfect strength, God, in the storm, Father God. Lord, we just pray that this morning, Father God, that perfect strength would come. Perfect direction would come, Father God. Perfect healing would come, Jesus. Perfect restoration would come. We thank you for it, Jesus. We thank you for it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Though a thousand may fall at my side, though the enemy war against me, I will not fear the terror by night. I will hide in the shadow of your I will dwell in the shelter of the Most High God. I will rest in the beauty of your presence. Your faithfulness is a shield in my great reward. And I will not be afraid. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. Yes. You have set me securely on high. You deliver me out of darkness. And evil surrounds my life. You commanded your angels to guard me. And I will dwell in the shelter of the Most High God. I will rest in the beauty of your presence. Your faithfulness is a shield in my grave. Trust in the Lord, and I will dwell in the shelter of the Most High God.
In you, Lord. We thank you, God, that we can call you Lord. We can call you Savior. We thank you, Lord, for the cross. We thank you, Lord, for your shed blood, Lord, and your broken body. And we just honor you today, Lord. We're appreciative. We're thankful, God. We're grateful, Lord, for your sacrifice. And we just praise your name. We thank you, Lord, that no weapon of the enemy is going to prosper in our life, Lord, because of you. Because of you. And we just rest and we trust in that today. I'm going to have David come up and share. We take communion every week in this house, and we've gone through kind of a transformation and understanding and revelation of what really communion's all about. And David kind of had an impartation by the Spirit a couple weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. So two Sundays ago, I was taking communion upstairs, and as I was just thanking God for the blood of Jesus and the cup that I got to partake in, and his body and that cracker, that oyster cracker, it supernaturally becomes the body of Jesus. The Lord just revealed to me, I had this overwhelming sense in my spirit and my soul of just seeing like God smiling over Jesus, how much joy he took in him. And just that love and that joy that he had in watching his son do his will perfectly on this earth. But he loves us so much that he sacrificed Jesus. He sacrificed his blood for us and his body for us to take part in. And in that blood that we get to take part in, there's life. We always sing and talk about the power of the blood of Jesus. Well, these cups of juice, supernaturally, they're his blood. like our faith can just come alive by the blood of Jesus. There is so much that God is willing to give us. If he's willing to give us Jesus, the one that he took so much joy in, just the love that was just sensed in that one moment of time was just amazing. And God gave that all up so we can have a full life in him. And we can partake in communion so freely. We can do it here at church. We can do it at home. We can do it with our family. We can do it by ourselves. But that life that's in the blood is free for us to take in. And there's no limit of that for us. So communion is up here. And guys, ask God to reveal himself to you in this communion, and he will, because that 2 Sundays ago was just one of the most amazing feelings that I've ever had, and just sensing the smile of God over Jesus. So I would encourage anybody and everybody, take communion. These things should be empty by the time service is done and a line waiting for more. So I'm sure there's more of what we need for communion if all of this gets taken. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much, Lord, for your revelation, Father God. I thank you so much for your love for us, Lord God. Though Jesus was here doing a perfect work for you, Father God, you chose to sacrifice him for each and every one of us. And Lord God, I just thank you for your blood. Thank you for your blood and for your body that washes our sins away, Lord, and gives us a wholeness of life, Lord God. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of us can get a revelation straight from heaven, Father, as we partake in communion with you, Lord God. Lord, that your life, that power in your blood will just become alive in each one of our bodies, Lord. And Lord, that we can be motivated by love to pursue you and chase after your heart, Father God. So Lord, I just thank you so much for what you have given us, Lord. And I thank you for your perfect plan in our lives, Lord God. And we thank you so much in the name of Jesus.
If we could just put our hand like on our heart, on our stomach area. God, we just pray. Let's just begin to pray that God will release a supernatural hunger for his presence. God, I just pray right now, Father God, that right now, Father, you would release a supernatural hunger and a supernatural desire for your presence. God, we as a church would not be looked, we would not search or want to be entertained by a worship service when it's all about you. God, I pray that you would make us uncomfortable this morning. God, that you would completely mess up what we think is normal. And God, you would completely mess up what we feel should be church. God, we don't want to be church. We don't want to play church. We don't want to sing songs just to sing songs. God, we don't want to feel emotional, God, just to be emotional. But God, we want to touch the heart of our King. God, we want to touch the heart of our Savior this morning, Jesus. And I pray right now, Father God, that you would begin to break the walls of religion, God, off of our hearts. God, you would begin to break the walls of normalcy and tradition, God, off of our hearts, God. That we would not search, God, to be entertained, God, by a song or, God, you know, this song's not that great. But God, we would not do that, God. We would completely focus upon you, Lord. God, our hearts would be set upon you, Jesus. Our hearts, our minds, our spirit, God, would be set in a higher place. God, I pray right now that you would take us to where you are, Jesus. God, our hearts would fly, God, to where you are, Father God. God, our spirit would begin to sing, Jesus. Our spirit would begin to sing for you, Father. Holy Spirit, we worship you, Jesus. Come Come on, church, just begin to stir up the gifts of the Spirit within your heart, within your spirit. Father God, you have called every one of us. God, you have called every one of us, Jesus, to be leaders, God, to lead those that are around us, God. Jesus, we just pray that the anointing of heaven would just begin to flow in this place. God, the anointing of heaven would just begin to flow in this place. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, flow. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, flow. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, flow. Release your glory. Release your glory, God. Release your glory. Release your glory, God. Release your glory, God. Release your glory, God. Your glory, God, release your glory, God, release your glory, God, on our hearts, on our hearts. Yes, Lord Jesus.
I want more.
rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love. No place I'd rather be, Jesus. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. The same again. Spirit be released on us. That will never be the same again. Spirit be released on us. That will never be the same again. Spirit be released on us. That will never be the same again. Thank you, Jesus.
Let's just all lift up our hands right now. Father God, we're going to just sing this to the Lord. And we're gonna, oh man, I just see the glory of God just be released in this place like crazy. Just close your eyes and just see it. Like literally see it. Like see it coming down and just the Spirit of God being released. And think about, like, just think about your life completely being different.
Okay, Pastor Nick, hold that thought just a second, okay? I got a picture earlier on as we were worshiping, and I saw a whole crowd of people worshiping the Lord. And this, it was almost like a camera that spanned to the back area, and there was this little person, and they were jumping and lifting their hands and trying to almost see over the top, but to also be seen over the top of all those other people. And I got a sense that there's a lot of people that are standing in this room right now that for some reason or another, you have disqualified yourself of why God would even notice you, why he would even care to have you as one of his kids, or why he would even bother to notice you, because you've disqualified yourself of who you think a Christian or who you think a servant of the Lord should be. And then I got to thinking about Zacchaeus in Luke 19, how he was looking over the top of the crowd, trying to see over the top, and he was looking and straining, and he wasn't able to see anything, and so he ran ahead. Now get this, you guys, he ran ahead and climbed a tree so he could see Jesus. But guess what happened? Jesus saw him. Jesus saw him. And Jesus knew Zacchaeus. Other people that saw him climbing that tree, they knew who he was on the outside. They knew that he was a tax collector. They knew that he was not such a nice guy. But Jesus saw him. So then I was reminded in, hold on, let me get there. I was reminded in Isaiah 16:6. It's the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Where's your heart today? Where is it today? You know, we have this word, it's called choice. And we can choose to not be seen. We can choose to be seen. But we also have a choice that our heart can be pure before God and want him so badly that we will do anything at all, anything to be noticed by him. But you know what? God doesn't really care about what your outward man is doing, whether it's jumping up high or climbing a tree. He sees you. He knows you, and he sees the finished product of what he's called you to be. Release to him today yourself. Release to him today your heart. Do what Pastor Nick was saying about get ready, because God's getting ready to pour out. And if you're ready to receive what he's pouring out for you, he's going to give it to you today. Amen.
Spirit be released on me, that I'll never be the same again. Spirit be released on me, that I'll never be the same again. Spirit be released on me, that I'll never be the same again. Spirit be released on me, that'll never be the same again. Spirit be released on us, that will never be the same again. Spirit be released on us, never be the same again. Show us what that looks like. Show us what that feels like. Show us the Lord, what freedom really is. Show us what that looks like. Show us what that feels like. Show us what freedom really is. that again.
Spirit be released on us, that we'll never be the same again. Spirit be released on us, never be the same again. Spirit be released on us, never be the same again. Spirit be released on us, I'll never be the same again. I'm looking more like you, I'm looking more like you every day, every day. I'm looking more like you, I'm looking more like you. The closer I come, the closer I come. I'm looking more like you, I'm looking more like you every day, every day. Closer I come, the closer I come. I'm looking more like you, I'm looking more like you every day, every day. I'm looking more like you, I'm looking more like you, the closer I come.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, yes, Jesus. Lord, I just see like God speaking right now, like with Moses, when Moses went up on the mount and he had that amazing experience with God with the burning bush, and the glory of God was all over Moses, and Moses came down from the mountain and he had to cover up his face because he shone with such glory of God. I just feel like God's speaking to us right now, and God like literally saying, take off the veil. Take off the veil this morning, because God wants his glory to be shown. He wants his glory to shine. He wants his glory to be without separation. Yes, God, we thank you, Jesus. Right now, Father God, we take the veil off. God, we want to have that experience of the glory of God, the burning bush in our own life. God, we want the glory of God. We want to look just like you. We want to look just like you, Jesus. Lord, just like you, looking more like you every day, every day. I'm looking more like you, I'm looking more like you, the closer I come. Yes, Lord, I'm looking more like you, I'm looking more like you every day. Yes, we are. I'm looking more like you, I'm looking more like you, the closer I come. We want to come a little closer to the glory of your presence. Come a little closer now. I'm drawing you into me, come a little closer, glory of my presence. Come on, church, are you hungry this morning? Are you thirsty this morning? Oh, yeah. Come on, last time.
Wide open, darling, Lord, on my own understanding. My life is in the hands of the Maker of heaven. I lean not on my own understanding. My life is in the hands of the Maker of heaven. And I give it all to you, God.
Singing this song right now, God gave me this vision of what it looks like when we're not climbing the mountain with our hands wide open, and when, you know, we're walking the path that He's wanted us to walk, and, you know, we're trying to do what He wants us to do, but we're still grabbing for every handhold, and we're not just walking with our hands wide open up to Him in surrender to His plan. So if you guys can see that in your lives, that you're reaching and grabbing for every handhold, trying to do this, climb the mountain in your own power, just this word is from the Lord. Stop and just lift your hands up to Him. Surrender to Him. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus. Well, if that's you, if you can agree with that word, or that is a something that is activating something inside of you, I just encourage you right now just to lift your hands to heaven and just say, Lord, I just release control. I release the right that I have to hold on. And I say, I'm going to put my trust in you. I'm going to let go of my own will, let go of my own ways, and I trust you. I know that even though it makes no sense in the natural, that I can't hold on to something for security, or can't hold on to something for stability, that in trusting you and just giving it all to you and raising my hands to you, you somehow supernaturally support me. You somehow supernaturally pull on me, drawing me higher and higher and higher into the place, Lord, where you are. Lord, that as I trust you, God, you take me beyond all my circumstances, beyond all my failures, and beyond all my regrets into the plan and the purpose and the destiny you have for me for my life. So I yield this to you right now, Lord. I surrender, Lord, my will. I say not my will, Lord, but your will be done, as our Lord Jesus prayed in the garden. Lord, not my will, but your ways, your purposes, your plans be done in my life. Lord, I want to live for your glory. I want to live for your splendor. I want to live to bring you pleasure, Lord. So help me, God. Help me, Lord. Help me, God, to trust you. Help me, Lord, to put all my confidence, Lord, in you. Lord, I don't want to trust in anything else other than you. I don't want to trust in the economy. I don't want to trust in my bank account. I don't want to trust in my own abilities. I don't want to trust in someone else. I want to trust in you. You prayed that prayer, I believe, by faith. So everything that we do with God is by faith. Just take the steps necessary today or tomorrow that says, I'm trusting you in this. I'm going to release this to you. I'm not going to carry this burden, this weight any longer. I'm going to trust you, Lord. Because I know in your hands is safety. In your arms is a place of security and rest. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, we worship you, God. We praise your name. We praise your name. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You're so good. You're so good. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We'll just take a moment, greet someone. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. That's it. Let the love flow. aside from our relationship with our God, our relationship with each other is our next most important thing in our lives. I want to give you some input on some events. Today, after service, we're going to have a spaghetti feed. Yeah? And there will be a pie auction following that. Now, there are some really good pies down there. So I want you to be ready to bid on an amazing pie. I don't think hardly any of these are any store-bought. I don't think any of them are store-bought. I think they're all homemade. If they are store-bought, they're going to be good pies. We're going to believe by faith that it's... But anyway, so right after service, we're going to go downstairs. We'll have a spaghetti feed, and there's food. Garlic bread. And so I just encourage you to come down. Can you remind me of the price again? $10 for a family of four. And then $250? No, I think it's $3 per person. Yeah. Otherwise, there's no break. It's like, we got to have price breaks, right? More than four, $2. Okay. Yeah, so it is going to be $3 per person, $10 for a family of four, and then $2 for every individual after that. So, and if somebody wants to just, you know, float the bill for everybody, that's fine too. So it's like, any generous individuals here, praise the Lord. Okay. And then, of course, we're going to be auctioning off the pies, and that should be a fun time just to see, you know, how excited we can get over a pie. So next Sunday, Pastor Gay is asking for a short meeting right after service to discuss the Vacation Bible School. There's some developments that have come up. So all of you that signed up for that, or if anyone hears that and said, I'd like to be part of it, please meet after service next Sunday up here in the, probably this sanctuary front area. Oh, over this side? Okay, over in the overflow. Next weekend, we have a really great pleasure of having Chad Taylor with us. He's going to be here Friday on the 27th, Saturday the 28th, and he'll be here Sunday morning the 29th. And this is not just a weekend to have just a speaker come and speak to us. Chad Taylor has an amazing ministry of activating people in a life outside of the four walls, where you can help reach others, where you can be a light. And so I encourage everyone to come. We'll start at Friday night at 7 p.m., Saturday at 6, and then normal Sunday service. So if you have any questions about that, just see me, call me, or text me. There we go. And I think that's it. We have some more activities, but they're a ways off, so praise the Lord. Okay, would the children please come up? Thank you so much for that. So nice. Your hands are stuck? Praise the Lord. So do you guys sometimes feel like, you know, with your age, it's like you're just kind of waiting to really be used by God? Like, you know, obviously you don't think for the most part that you can come up here on a Sunday morning and share something the Lord puts on your heart. And that's not true. If the Lord puts, hey, listen, guys, if the Lord puts something on your heart to share with us, you're just as important as any of us to share. And maybe it's just that the Lord puts on your heart that Jesus loves us. That would be good to hear. Or maybe he has a word that you want to, that he wants to use you for, to speak to us, that will help transform and change us. You're like, Pastor Mike, I can't do that. You're right, you can't do that, but God in you can. The God that we all serve, the God whose spirit is alive inside of you, can cause your hearts to rise up and be used mightily by the Lord. Amen, parents, and we're ready to receive it. We will not, as the word says, despise your youth. We will look at you and say, Lord, use them for your glory. So let's pray for them. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your children. We thank you, God, for the call and the destiny that's on their lives now, Lord, not just when they grow up, not when they become teenagers, Lord, not when they're adults, Lord, but now, Lord, you have a calling and a plan and a purpose for them. So, Lord, we release, Lord, that calling. We release, Lord, your glory and your power over their lives, Lord. We say, use them, Lord, for your glory. Help them to know you, Lord. Help them to know you intimately, Lord. Help them to have an experience and a life with you, Lord, that's real, that's a reality. We just bless them now. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, guys. Praise the Lord. So I've had many things on my heart this past few days, and I'm like, okay, Lord, so what are you going to preach on? And I don't think I've gotten anything firm yet. So this has happened before, and God is so faithful to move and to communicate his love to us and the truth and the reality of who we are and what he wants to accomplish through our lives. But I'm just going to open with prayer and we'll see where God takes us. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, God, that your word is alive. Lord, that it is sharper, Lord, than any sword out there, any surgeon's scalpel, Lord. It's alive, Lord, and it's sharp, and it works, Lord. It works in such a way, Lord, that it divides, God. It divides between our soul and our spirit. Lord, it helps distinguish between, Lord, what is you and what is of this earth. Lord, and it goes even deeper, and it starts to examine the thoughts and the intents of our heart. Starts to expose our motives. Starts to show us, God, what's really going on inside. So, Lord, we just ask today, God, that living word, Lord, the word that existed before anything, not just the words from the page, Lord, but the living word, Jesus, the alive one, would come and teach us today, would come and expose things in us that aren't of you. Lord, that would awaken us to who we are. Lord, that would take off, Lord, the scales of this world, the scales of this life, the blinders, so to speak, that have kept us from seeing who we really are. And Lord, we are becoming more like you every day. Some of us can't even tell. Some of us don't notice it. But because of the Spirit of God rising, because of the atmosphere that God is creating on the earth in this day, Lord, becoming more like you. Lord, you're drawing us to yourself. You're leading us away, Lord, from occupation with our own thoughts and our own ideas and our own plans, and you're leading us to you, to your ways, to your very heart, Lord. And so we submit ourselves to that work today. Lord, we declare, Lord, that we will be transformed. Lord, we declare that we will be in the image of Christ. We declare, Lord, that your plans and your purposes, your callings, your destiny that you have for us will be fulfilled because of the blood of Christ, because of the voice that now still speaks in heaven on our behalf. And so, Lord, I pray today that revelation, truth would come, Lord, and we would experience it, not just hear it with our minds, but, Lord, we'd experience it, God, in such a way that we would be free. Lord, we'd live in a new level of freedom. We'd walk in a new level of authority. God, we'd be, Lord, your hands and your feet on this earth. Lord, we'd be your sons and daughters that you've called us to be. And we thank you for this in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts 17. Verse 16. Acts 17, verse 16. Thank you, Lord. Now, while Paul was waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogues with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers, and in the marketplace daily, and with those who happened to be there. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, "What does this babbler want to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, I think that's it. I've heard different pronunciations. You can get with me later on, tell me how it's really pronounced, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean." For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Wow, that's quite a statement. They spent all of their time, it says, "For all the Athenians, foreigners who were there, spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear of some new thing." Does that sound familiar? I think we do that sometimes. Verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus. Does that sound right? Okay, there we go. Areopagus, and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands." We've talked about that before. This is just a building, right? I know there's times I tell people, we'll meet at the church. And it's become that name because there's no other way to describe it. If I say, we'll meet at the building, you say, what building? Well, the building. There's lots of buildings in Yakima, Pastor Mike. So we need to call this a name, but it is not the church who you are. Some people say, well, when you come into this place, you know, you have to act reverent and holy, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you need to act reverent and holy, not just here, but outside of these four walls. It's not just about how you look while you're here. It's how you look while you live. And so Paul's saying here to them, listen, God made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he does not dwell in temples made with hands. Now, this was tough for the Athenians because, you know, Greece, they had lots of gods. They had lots of gods that they worshiped. They had gods for almost everything. And they had temples for them, and they had places of worship, and so he was really starting to step on their belief system. Then he says, "Nor is he worship with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives all to all life, breath, and all things. Nor is he worship with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things." The next time you're talking to somebody and they say they don't believe in God, just remind them the very fact that they are breathing is declaring God. The very fact that their heart is beating and they're alive is giving testimony to God. And they may argue and say, well, that's all I'm going to say. Let that speak to your heart, because it is the truth. The only reason that we're alive is because of God.
And that goes for sinners and saints both. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope. Now this is an interesting verse. So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him. Though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art or man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, we will hear you again on this matter. So Paul is in a city of thinkers. He's in a city of people who do nothing more than talk about new ideas and new things. And he challenges them to think differently. He challenges them to repent. I've heard it many times that repenting, it means that you just change your mind and you stop what you're doing, you go someplace, do something else. I've said before in teachings that to repent means to change your mind. You're going one way and you turn and you go the opposite way. But it's more than that. Repenting means that you literally let your thoughts be transformed. Repenting literally means that you do not allow the same thought patterns to continue. And so Paul is challenging them to think outside of their box. And I believe these days God is challenging us as his people to think outside of our boxes. How many of you have a box that you have safely got God in and the way that he works for you, he operates for you? Anybody? I mean, I'm stepping out, but I still deal with this. I think that, you know, I'm starting to make progress, and I'm starting to, you know, open up myself to all that God could possibly do. And then the next thing I know, I'm literally thinking opposite of the way that I was trying to think earlier. Repenting is a process. I believe that you just don't come up to the altar one time and kneel and all of a sudden you fully repented. I know a lot of people have thought that. Well, I'm just going to repent of my sins and that's it. No, you have to repent of the way you were thinking. We've had perverse thinking. Now, perversion has bad connotations. It usually has always sexual connotations with it. But perverse thinking means crooked thinking. It means crooked thinking means thinking that does not follow his path, does not follow his ways. And so just as Paul was saying to the Athenians, repent, I'm saying to us today, let's repent. And I know we can repent with weeping, we can repent with broken hearts, we can repent as, you know, a message comes and it makes us, you know, emotional, and we step into, you know, a moment. We say, God, just forgive me for the way. But folks, repentance is daily. Do you guys realize that? Repentance is daily. That's, you might as well say, renewing your mind. Because our minds have been basically polluted with the world. And I'm not saying just the trash in the world. I'm talking just the way that the world thinks. You know, the world thinks linearly. Did you guys know that? We think on a timeline. You know, we go back to Adam, and we go, you know, something like around 4,000 years when Jesus came, and then we go like another 2,000. So we say about 6,014 years we've been here, and so we put this earth on a timeline. But you know, God doesn't. He doesn't put earth on a timeline. See, right there, you got to repent, because I know you're thinking, no. He does, because he created the earth, he created the timeline. Just because he created something doesn't mean the way that we see it is how it is. Do you guys remember when I was sharing the verse? I believe it's in Isaiah. I can't quote it right now, but it's where it says that, it's not Isaiah, I think it's Jeremiah, that the end is basically revealed in the beginning. So if the end, and I don't have an illustration for this, and I didn't plan on going here, but evidently this is where the Lord wanted to go. If this is the beginning, okay, how does the end, if it's linear, get revealed in the beginning? You said it, Tanya. Fold it or cycle, a circle. You know, we're foreign to this, but we live in a cycle and circles all the time. Yet we think linearly. We think in a straight line. Now listen, this little simple concept can change you from thinking more like God and less like you, or more like God and less like man. If we go back to the garden and we see Adam and Eve and we see them in a created state by their maker in his image in a glorious way, and I'm not, you know, telling you all go out and watch this, but has anyone seen the movie Noah? Yeah. Yeah. There's some real weird stuff in there, but there is an amazing scene. And it's where Adam and Eve are in the garden, and they are just glowing with light. They're just pure light. They're shaped like our bodies, but they're light. That we were made in God's image. And what is God? God is light. God is love. And so they were emanating what they were created as. Now, obviously, we know we've fallen, and we're not now emanating light. But what did Jesus come to do? He came to restore us to something that was lost. See, we've been redeemed. That means bought back. And I've always thought, well, it means just that we've been bought back from, you know, sin and decay, which that is true. That is the byproduct of what we lost. See, for so long, we've made sin the attraction. We've made sin like the star of the show. We've made it like the headliner, and we put the sins all up here, and that's what we all try to stay away from is the sins. You know, adultery, fornication, lying, stealing. Then you can get into sins of the heart and the attitudes, motivations, all those things, but we've made that the theme, when all the time the theme was relationship. See, the headline should say, children of God restored to the Father. And sin has no authority in that. Sin has no power in children of God restored by the Father, by the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the Holy Spirit. Listen, Paul goes on there to say that it's in him we live and move and have our being. If you ever read the very beginning of Genesis, God molded Adam, says out of the earth, and he fashioned him. And I believe it wasn't something he just threw together. I don't believe, you know, some people say, well, God, you know, can just, this was something he didn't snap his fingers over. I believe he took great pleasure, great joy, and created Adam. There was love that went into Adam. Adam was not just a byproduct of some afternoon thought that God had. Oh, I think I'll go and create a man. Did you know that the very heavens were fought over because of us? We're the reason for Satan's fall. Why do you think he went after us? Some of you are like going, huh? Think like God. Don't think like man. Satan has always had it out for us. And when he found out that God was crafting something of great value that was above and beyond the angels, that weren't just something spoken, but were literally handmade by him. What a travesty then for God to see these hands that were created by him fashion something and then say, it's him. Do you see what it must do to his heart? Because we were fashioned by him. We were made by him. And you know what? It doesn't matter if you're saved or not saved. You've been fashioned by him. You've been created by him. You were in his thoughts and intents. Not just Adam, all of us. It says that we're knit and fashioned in our mother's womb. I can't understand all that. That's way beyond me to think that each one of us has his individual handiwork. I may have trouble just keeping track of just a few kids. Let alone multiple billions. Anybody else relate? But God's not limited by our world, by our timeline. He is cyclical. And so if he fashioned Adam, and then after this painstaking moment, or time froze as he made him, he then breathed his breath into him. And I believe that each and every one of us, somehow, saved or unsaved, have been carrying that same breath. Makes no sense. How can we all have the breath of God? I don't know. But it says here, where is it? Hello. Oh yes, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives life to all breath and all things. He gives us our breath. So with that said, I want to digress or elevate us. I want to help us to start to think of God a little different in our own life. I want us to realize that he is close to us. Now, many of us say that, you know, we know that he's inside of us, and most of us forget about him being there. I know I do at times. I have to bring myself back. What am I doing? Got the creator of everything inside of me, and yet I've been ignoring him today. Well, we were singing a song, Yahweh, Yahweh. How does that one part go? Anyway, Yahweh, Yahweh. That's a name that has been in the Hebrew writings, the Jewish writings for God. And it is actually a four-letter word, and we have added things to it to basically be able to pronounce it. How many know it's very hard to pronounce a word that just has consonants, doesn't have a vowel? I mean, we don't have any words like that I know of. Are they almost, they'd be impossible to really pronounce. But it's basically the Hebrew word, Y, where we get the Yah. And then there's another letter, which is the fifth letter of the alphabet, and it's He. And then there's another letter, which is the Va, or the Wa, and it's pronounced Va. And then there's another letter, He. So, oh, this is so good. When we think in the natural, we tend to miss the supernatural, or we tend to miss the obvious. And I'm gonna do something, and I just want you to listen for a moment. And what I want you to do with this, I want you to just realize that every single individual says the name of God all the time. Every person. Because I believe his name represents breath. You guys ready? Breath. He's the breath. He's the spirit. God is spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. And that's what Paul was trying to identify. And he used their logical thinking to try to get them to a certain point. And it says a few followed him, even after he talked about the resurrection, literally became Christians. And you know, so many of us come to church every single Sunday, and we're breathing God's name. We're literally, you know, announcing him as we come in. You know, as we go to work, we're announcing him. All of creation, I believe, worships him, speaks his name. But yet we come in here and we think we have nothing. Especially as Christians, we think that we're disqualified. We think that we don't have what it takes. Folks, we have been restored to that place. We are beings of light. You can't see it because it's supernatural now. It's not in the physical, it's in the supernatural. If you saw me in my spirit, I'd be beaming light. If I saw you, you would be beaming light. Some of you have to repent now because you're thinking in the natural again. He doesn't look like beaming light. That's because you're looking at the things that are seen. But we're encouraged to look at the things that are not seen. So if we're beaming light, what does that mean? Then that means we're restored back to the place that was lost. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, by his broken body, to a place of whole, living children of God. No sins, no defects. Some of you go, well, Pastor Mike, you don't know what I did yesterday. No, no. That is looking at the seen. The unseen is we're whole, beautiful, glorious children of God. Loved and adored by him. And ready to be used by him. Ready to stand in a place of authority. See, Paul dealt with this with one of the churches because they were bickering and fighting among themselves. He says, listen, guys, you're fighting over stupid things. I'm just paraphrasing now. Isn't there somebody that can help you figure out what's going on? Somebody of some kind of wisdom among you? But don't you realize that you're going to be judging angels and you can't handle this matter? Now, some of you hear judging angels like, oh, what gives me the right? Jesus Christ and his shed blood, his power that was displayed on the cross. Some say it was weakness, but it was power that was displayed. It was all of God's power that took all of mankind upon himself and hung for mankind on the cross so that we could be whole beings of light. So many of us still, unfortunately, even though we call him by God by name, worship God in an unknown way. Because it's been just up here. when God wants us to know him wholly, like I know my wife, like I know you, he wants us to know him. And what gives us that right? We're his children. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We're made in his image again. Not just the man image, but we're made in the son image again. We are children of light. But 99% of us battles that because we don't see it. When you look in the mirror, what do you see? Do you see you? Or do you see the being of light that God's made you into? When you look at your brothers and sisters in Christ, what do you see? Do you see the image of where they're at right now? Do you see their current state? Or do you see the glorious son and daughter of God that's a being of light? Listen, we will not move beyond where we've been until we see where we already are. We will not move beyond where we've been, what we've done, who we have thought we were, until we truly see who we are and where we are. Because what we see with our eyes, for lack of a better term, is a lie. Unless we see with our spirit. Why else did Paul say, I don't want to know any man after the flesh, after what I see with my eyes. I want to know them after the spirit. See, if we could see each other after the spirit, there would be no dissensions. There would be no fighting. There would be no bickering. There would be no desiring of someone else's gift, because you would realize the gift that you have and their gift is who they are, not who you are. There would be no greed. There would be no malice. And guess what? Sin wouldn't have a place in us. So we really need to repent. We really need to change the way that we think. And the only way that's going to happen is by the grace of God, by number one, us admitting our inability to do it ourselves. How many of you tried to change your own thinking? How many of you tried to change your mind? How many of you tried to stop a habit that you've had for years on your own? We can only do this by the grace of God. We can only become who we're called to be with his hand involved in it. Listen, he's the hand who fashioned us. Do you think he's the hand who can, we can hold on to carry us in to who we truly can become? Because creation is groaning over us, folks. Creation is waiting for us to get our act together. It is. It's looking and expecting this manifestation of the children of God, the sons and daughters of God, the sons and daughters of light. See, I believe in Christ, there is also no darkness in us. No shadow of turning. Most of us can't receive that. Or if we can, it's only intellectually. But those days of just intellectually knowing this truth are going away. Because I believe the Spirit of God is blowing over our hearts, just as we were praying. The revelation and the truth of who we are is being released. As a matter of fact, I declare that right now, Lord. Who we are is being released, Lord. Our true position, our true place, our true authority, God, is being released right now into our hearts and our minds, Lord. And I pray, God, that we would experience it. We would live it out. Lord, it is in you that we live. It is in you, Lord, that we live, Lord, that we have life, Lord, that we have this eternal life, this everlasting life now, Lord. It's in you, God, that we move. We move beyond, Lord, the natural, God, into our supernatural life, Lord. And it's in you, God, that we have our very being, Lord, our existence. Our very existence, God, is in you. So, Father, I just release now your children to become who they're called to be. I release them, Lord, from the lies that the enemy has spoken over them, that they're only going to amount to so much. That they've only got so much to give. That they've only learned so much to be used, only so much. I come against that lie right now, and I declare that the Spirit of the living God will stir in them and stir them up, God, to be thinkers the way that you think. To be people who do not see things in the natural, but see things from the supernatural point of view that we have in Christ. I thank you, Lord, that you are doing above and beyond all we can ask or think, even now. That what we've prayed for, God, is going to be multiplied, God, and we will see the results, Lord, in our lives. I thank you, Lord, for the revelation that we are now sons and daughters of light. That there is no darkness in us, no shadow of turning, God, because we are in Christ. We are in Christ. We are hidden in Christ. We are sealed in Christ by the Spirit of God. That no weapon by the enemy ever again fashioned can be used against us, God, and will have success in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, that's where we went. Hallelujah. Okay, so guess what? In a few minutes, we're going to go downstairs and have spaghetti. So everyone, please come and join us and get ready to buy some pies.